Hello, everyone, and welcome to our virtual retreat day for the Clinical Mastery of the Digestive System course. I'm very excited to be here because I really love when we get to spend a whole day together, because what it does is it gives us the opportunity to really dig in deep. You know, sometimes the calls, even though they oftentimes go late at night, when they are at night, in the daytime, we don't have the luxury of that. But then a lot of people tend to have to drop off because of the timing. So we scheduled this deliberately. We scheduled it for 4 hours. If it goes a little longer, that's fine with me. I always give leeway in my schedule for that to happen. I don't want to have to cut us off if we're in the middle of a really great case or deep learning opportunity. So this is going to go for 4 hours. We are not going to keep you going straight for 4 hours. And if I do, then somebody put in the chat, hey, we need a break. Usually I anticipate doing breaks every hour to hour and a half to give you a chance to get up, go to the bathroom, get water, go outside if the weather allows, and go from there. But here's the thing. I have been known to just go on a webinar and stand there for 4.5, 5 hours, 6 hours, even up to 8 hours straight without a bathroom break. So I don't know why I have superhuman bladder power, but that can happen. So if that starts to happen, I want you guys to nudge me and let us know that we all do need a break. So I'm just going to do something with this a little bit. So that it doesn't get, okay, good. All right, so let's begin. So Clinical Mastery of the Digestive System, for those of you who joined us back in, oh man, we started this program back in September or beginning of October, I can't remember, of 2016. And we've been going through and exploring. The course content has been delivered as a self-paced, so you get to open your modules as you finish one other module before that and just keep working your way through. There's a lot of learning there, and we'll give time for question and answers related to content, etc., later on in the retreat. So let me just go through and explain to you what we're planning to do today. So again, this information is totally not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. We're not considering it medical advice, and I highly recommend that when you work with patients or clients, that you explain the same thing so that people don't get caught up in the feeling that you're doing medical stuff. I've had situations where people will say, well, you told me to go off my medication. You have a person who went off all their medication over the course of a year of working together and no longer has to take thyroid medication or metformin and everything's balanced. But she comes back and says, I told her to do that. And I never tell anybody to do that. You've heard me do these things over and over. And you got to make sure that it's really clear. And you also want to make sure that it's in writing. And if they do start to get so much better under your care that they need their medication adjusted, that you encourage them in writing, in your notes, that's they need to work with their doctor to do that. A lot of people in reality won't work with their doctor to do that, and they're going to be perfectly fine, right? If you get their blood sugar balanced and they go off their metformin, it's not going to hurt them. It's going to help them, but that's not what you want the impression to be. So I just want to caution you over and over again, you know, more and more states are getting to be, you know, red states with coaching, and you just have to really be careful how you speak to people that you're educating them. So that's my soapbox. So these are some of the things that we're going to cover. I'm going to really go through the client assessment and educational strategies. I want you to be able to know how to do a thorough history, know when you need to use labs, and how to use the home assessments. So we're going to review that before we go into cases. The next thing we're going to do is go into cases. So I've got one from Claudia and one from Karen, and we're going to go through those cases. And then I'm going to go through certification requirements and community education and creating coaching packages towards the end, and then open Q&A. So I want to make sure that you have the tools that you need to take this learning out on the road. In other words, take this show on the road. Very important. So educational strategies. Let's go through it. I've given you a lot within the program that you can use to get people balanced, but to assess them as well. And that's what we want to really focus on today, because I hear this is an area where so many people have misunderstandings and they gloss over. It's the standard medical, like you're in for 5-10 minutes and they do a quick overview evaluation and then they prescribe. And that's what people come to expect of a medical evaluation, a medical visit, is that there's a quick assessment and then here's what to do about it. And I see this a lot, quite frankly, in our own community. I see people posting on our Facebook group and other Facebook groups where I'm a member, where there are other health practitioners, and there's just a lot of this for that mentality. I've got a client who has this. Anybody have any ideas? I've got a person who's exhibiting that or has been diagnosed with this disease. And my take is always, what's underneath? Why is this person exhibiting these symptoms? Why is this person exhibiting or been diagnosed with this, been put in the box of this particular condition? And the thing about it is that three people with similar presentations, similar symptoms, may have a totally different root cause. And that's our job here, guys, is to get to the root cause, to not to give them yet another Band-Aid, even though our Band-Aids may be less dangerous than theirs, and even though we might give them Band-Aids once we understand and are working towards the root cause. Really, the Band-Aids are just that. They're Band-Aids. They're just glossing over what's really going on. Our job is to get to the root cause. So you got to start by getting to know your client, whether it's a new client, a family member, an existing client who has a new problem. You've got to get to know them. The initial contact is where you set rapport, where you find out a ton of information about them. And we're going to go through that with the cases and talk about where some of the missing pieces are in the cases. And fortunately, one of the cases that we're going to do, the second one, is actually somebody who it's her own case. So we'll be able to ask those questions and get that missing information. Where for the other case, we're just going to give our student the information she needs to go back and ask more questions of her client. There's pre-consultation forms. You all have access to these. You can use the uploader for the cases. A lot of the questions on there are the ones that I use. And you want to ask a thorough history. And you want to have a bunch of that stuff before you even talk to them, because you don't want to be hit with surprises. And in reality, if you keep it short before the very first consultation, then they won't get overwhelmed. They'll feel grateful that you're asking them a lot of good questions. And you'll really feel like you know them before they walk in the door. And you'll know where your conversation is going to go and where the missing pieces are. Then during the initial consultation, you're going to fill in and clarify some of the things they've given you on their form. And your other questions are going to pop up based on the conversation. And it's always interesting what things come up that are completely different almost from what they've written down because they forgot to tell you. You're going to look at journals of their daily activities. You may or may not have them bring that into you the first time you talk to them, because that feels a little off-putting to some people. You may want to do that after that visit and do that the second time. But seriously, guys, journals of their daily activities and diet are critical, because so many people say, I eat a good diet. I eat a good diet. I only occasionally have, you know, sugar and gluten and, you know, pizza and all this stuff. And that occasionally might actually be more than what we would consider occasional. I consider having something occasionally be once every year or two. That's occasional. Maybe even twice a year at the most. But anything more than that is more than occasional. And a lot of people consider occasional twice a week. You get somebody who's got a gut issue or a symptoms that are really rooted in the gut, but they're not exhibiting as a gut issue. And they're eating gluten twice a week. That could be the critical piece that they don't even think is a problem. They think they're on a good diet. So don't just take at face value, and don't just take the overall questions like I'll show you I have in my questionnaire.
Right. Well, that sounds reasonable. My primary concern is looking forward, not back. Then the first
question. Somebody got unmuted. I don't know why it unmuted. Let me make sure that it's set. Okay, good. You want to have journals of their daily activities and diet. So absolutely do not just take, oh, I exercise. And then you find out that they exercise, they go to a Zumba class twice a month, right? You find out that they're eating, you know, pretzels. And I had somebody who was eating gluten every day, but only because she only thought it was okay because it was just a little bit. Wasn't like a lot like she used to. Okay, so we're going to move forward. And, you know, if they have old labs, it's really a good idea to have them do them. And here's the thing that I always encourage people on my very first visit with them is, hey, you own your labs. You own your health history. So if you don't have copies of your labs, your family's labs, health records of tests you've done, you go to your doctor and you bring them in a form that's a medical release form. And you do that with all the doctors you've had over the past few years because you own those records and it's important for you to have them. Because if something does come up and you need to consult with somebody or you're frustrated with the way that the doctor is working with this case, then it's really time consuming to have to go back and get all those things. So I encourage people to get their labs. I usually like to look at things over the last year, but sometimes I like to look at it further back, depending on the way the onset of these symptoms happened and the onset of the quote unquote disease that they're dealing with. So really important, encourage your clients to do it. And then you want to take a look at and review any labs that they've had, not to be able to base your approach on old labs, but because you want to be able to look to see what was going on and if that still could be going on and what had happened and changed in their approach since those labs were run. Sometimes people come in and they go, oh yeah, I had this really advanced stool test my doctor ran a year ago. I saw a functional medicine doctor and they ran it. And you say, great, let's see the test. And okay, what did you do after this test? Well, we didn't really do anything. Like, what do you mean? There were four bacteria, two yeasts, and you know, inflammatory markers. What do you mean you didn't do anything? Well, you know, we just kind of went along. Oh, or I took some antimicrobial herbs. Great. And then how long did you take them for? And what was the result of the test after you took those for 3 or 4 months? Are they gone? Oh, we never did them again. So really asking lots and lots of questions is going to be important. Give me 1 second to make sure everybody gets muted on a regular basis. That's not what I wanted. It's not doing it. Okay. Okay, I don't know. People keep coming in and they're muted and I had specified mute participants on empty entry. Okay, so be careful about hitting your unmute button unless you have a specific question when we get to questions. But I prefer if you type in the chat if you have some clarification needed at this point so we can get a clean recording for those who can't make it. Okay. And I'm just going to open up my notebook so I can take notes onto where I'm going to have edits happen in this so we create a better evergreen type edit. Okay, so this is it about. Okay. All right. So in addition to that, you know, initial consultation thing, we want to make sure that we're doing a full functional assessment to see why are they having this. So I call it ninja history taking and interview skills. There's questionnaires and surveys that you can use, preferably scorable. You have a whole series of these in CMDS that I've given you related to the digestive tract and also related to nutrient status because nutrient status is so intimately tied in to digestive status. You can create your own. I have my own on adrenals and thyroid and all other kinds of things. You want the questions to include all aspects of their health, their diet, their environment, their habits, their exposures, their stresses in the past. We're going to see with one of our cases today that there was a very specific incident that happened right around the time that this problem started. And that's critical. You want to be really digging. really digging. And for we have a document that we can certainly share. We used it as a free giveaway when we were doing our insulin resistance training, but it's a pyramid of the hierarchy of how you do an assessment and the power of the questions, the why questions. And we'll give you that. Client diary analysis and session check-in forms. So I really, really like to see before each session. I don't always get it, but before each session, I want to see their diet analysis because, first of all, whatever their diet activity structure was at the beginning, hopefully we're going to be helping them alter that. So it's going to be changing from time to time. And because we're going to be not just giving them, you know, 25 things to do all at once, and then they do it, and then we look, and it's fine. You just keep going. No, it's going to be gradual. They're going to try this. They're going to try that. And some of the things they're going to try aren't going to work for them, and I want them to be keeping diet analyses so we can see, oh, I added broccoli to my diet, and I suddenly started having bloating after every meal. Right? I stopped eating this. You know, I stopped eating bread so much, and my gas and bloating went down, those sorts of things. So it's really important to see because memory does not serve you. Their memory of what they ate yesterday might be completely different. Plus, quantity is super important. They're having a teaspoon of a particular kind of oil with a meal versus 3 tablespoons. You want to know that because it's going to make a difference on how their digestive tract is taxed. All right. And then check-in forms. Again, compliance with this is so low, but the people who are compliant with this get the best results the fastest. You have a pre-session check-in form, and ideally you have a post-session check-in form too. And the pre-session check-in form says, how did you do with the objectives, the action items we sent last time? Were you able to do them? Did you have difficulty? How did it go? What are your successes in the last week? What are your challenges in the last week or whatever the length of time is between? And what do you want to focus on? What is specific things do you want to make sure we focus on today? Okay, so really important to do. And then afterwards you could say, okay, of the things we talked about today, list the 3 action items that you're going to be taking as a result. And how's your feeling about it? What's your level of commitment? What's your level of enthusiasm? So it helps you and the client to stay in contact much better. You're going to be looking for nutritional deficiency physical cues. We've given you a way to look at the physical clues for nutritional deficiency as well as looking at some of the other symptoms that may not be physical in nature. There's also ways to look at nutritional deficiencies through testing, and one of our cases today, we have that. You can look at traditional Eastern body diagnosis if you've been trained in that, but also I've given you a few things to look for. I mean, you can look at their tongue. Is it orange? Is it white? Is it red? There's a bunch of those things that you can do. You may not be trained in that. I know in our NEPT program, those of you who haven't gotten yet to the physical diagnosis module, you'll be able to learn some of those things that we've pulled in so that you have at least an overall cursory way of just really looking at them in a lot of different ways. Blood chemistry analysis is amazingly revealing for the digestive stuff. And there's no specific digestive markers per se in a blood chemistry analysis, but we do have a sample one today in our case so that you can actually see the kinds of things that you can pick up that inferences about the digestive tract that are actually in the blood. Interesting, very interesting. All right, so next we have some functional lab tests. So there's stool and urine. We're gonna be looking, we don't have a stool test today per se because that wasn't submitted, but we have other things that will show. So things on the NutriVal test or the OAT test, organic acid test, will show us some functional things that are going on in the gut. So the components of a thorough history, you want to find out their demographics, their health goals, the history of their chief complaint. Don't skimp on this, please. Don't skimp on this, please, because here's what's going to happen. They say, I have bloating and gas. You say, great, how often does it happen? Super. If you don't go back and start asking, when did it originally start? When was the last time you didn't have this symptom? What are some of the other things that happened on this at the same time? And again, I have a really cool little chart. I'll upload it to the site that I put together as a part of a different program, but I think it's definitely beneficial. Current health and exposures, right? Are they, one of the cases was talking about how a person lived above a swimming pool and was smelling chlorine in her skin all the time and still did years later. Do you think that impacted her? Absolutely, right? Somebody who works in a plant where there's chemicals processed hugely impacts their health, and they may not even realize it on a daily basis. Medication and supplement history is huge. So a lot of times people will come in and they write down what their supplements are, and that's it. I'm going to show you in this presentation today one of my favorite ways to track what their supplements and medication are. You want to find out what they're taking, how much they're taking, how long they've been taking it for, what was the change in their body, their symptoms after they started taking it versus before, and their understanding of why they're taking it. Because here's the deal. If you have a general overview form and it just says what supplements are you taking, and they write it down, and you're looking and going, huh, they seem to have a zinc deficiency, but they're taking 60 milligrams a day of zinc. This doesn't make sense. If you don't ask the right questions, you may not find out that they just started taking it right after they got that test taken 3 weeks ago. So you really have to ask lots and lots of questions. And you know, sometimes we just want to get right to the heart of it. We want to get right to what to tell them to do. But if we don't do a thorough history, we're not going to be there. Past health history, family history. So they may have some specific symptoms that they're dealing with, but you want to find out what kind of things have they dealt with before. Have they had surgeries? Have they had other kinds of interventions? Have they had bariatric surgery that they didn't even tell you about because they don't think about it? Have they had breast implants? All of this stuff is going to impact your ability to help them. Organ and gland scorecards. I put these together. I call them scorecards. They're just basically a set of questions, and after they answer it, you can get scores. You've seen them for the digestive system, but I have them for other systems as well that we have in NEPT. Nutrient evaluation scorecards. You already have access to those. Journals and tracking forms. We've already talked about the value of that. Ready and willing assessment. You know, people come to see you because maybe they're father or their son or their spouse was encouraging them, look, get a different opinion. You know, I don't think this medical stuff is working for you, but they're kicking and screaming. They have no interest. Or people have just heard of you that you're a miracle worker, and they come and they don't realize that they're going to have to change their diet, take supplements, do some stress management stuff, move. And I like to get a sense of how ready and willing they are. I have a written assessment. You can just make up those questions. You know, how willing on a scale of 1 to 10 are you to make changes to your diet? And, you know, you get really good answers, and you know how to approach with this person and how to talk to them instead of just go, okay, now we have this thing, you're going to do this, this, and this, and then they're like looking at you like the deer in the headlights and they don't want to do any of it. There's also this assessment interpretation that is based on those assessments that you have. This is in the program, but I wanted to bring your attention to it because it's a very useful thing to use. So if you run them through the digestive assessments and they have scores, right? I've put in here what the normal score is, less than 10, less than 10, less than 40, zero. You give them a date, you put the date and the score at the start. So you write those all down. And then you prioritize it. Like, is it very high, high, medium, or low? And then you start them on particular approaches, whether it's a dietary approach, a supplement approach, an herb, a meditation, whatever you start them on, you put the date in. And if there's specific protocols, like a leaky gut protocol or a gut dysbiosis protocol, and they have a date they start and a date they end, you put the date they end, then you do the scores again. Okay, so especially if they don't have a short budget, you know, they can't afford to be doing a lot of tests, you want to be doing this stuff that's free. And you explain it to them that way so you get buy-in. You're much more likely to get them to fill out your forms and know that we're going to do it again if you know they know that it's going to save them a bunch of money to do it that way. And this is a way to track all of that. And this is all your interventions. There may be others, but there are most of your interventions on the left. Then across the top are the areas that we have tests for. And then you go down that column and we teach you in the protocols section. I think it's like module 18, 19, somewhere in that range, that we teach you exactly. It goes through step by step how to use this chart. But in a nutshell, if you look at the chart, anything in the pale green is probably going to be fine for that particular condition. So if they have low stomach acid, everything going down the line is probably going to be fine, except if they have other stuff going on, right? And the ones that are going to be especially good are the dark greens. So for low stomach acid, especially good would be an HCL challenge, bitters plus zinc, and enzymes. The things in pink has caution. So if somebody has excess stomach acid, the gut rejuvenator drink may not be good because it contains lemon and acid and ACV, and they may have disruption of their mucosa that's going to cause them pain. They may not, and it may be fine, but you proceed with caution. Somebody with the excess stomach acid, most likely, obviously, you're not going to do an HCL challenge. You're not going to add more stomach acid. So that's a no, and that's in bright red. So pink's caution, red is no. So you can use this as a cheat sheet, and I would fill one out after you've worked with somebody, you know, and just kind of circle the things that are contraindicated and circle the things that are going to be helpful, and that can help you to create a protocol. I love this chart. It took me forever to put it together, but it's well worth it. Okay, I've given you teaching tools that you can use, and done-for-you tools that you can use with your clients to do the assessments, to figure out what's going on, and then to do various protocols. Remember, this is not about finding a protocol for leaky gut or a protocol for SIBO. It's about using the quote-unquote protocols to create a custom plan for your person, right? A custom plan. Now, if you're doing group coaching things, you can give them protocols, but you can caution them or advise them on how they can customize it for themselves. Or you can do group coaching calls where you can help them with that. So you've got the grant program, which is how I teach my clients. I have a more sophisticated level of clientele than a lot of people because people come to me as a resource for last resort, a resource for, hey, I've tried everything, I don't know, and also people who are very educated about their own health and bodies and want to take control. That's not 100%. Now, if I work with and promote my program through an affiliate, then I get people who are less so, and that struck me last year when I ran my grant program and I had worked with Ocean Robbins, who has a huge list, and the people that came in were not as educated as I was used to, and I had to really adjust my teaching style. But you have access to all the resources in there. You can see how I do it. You do not have my permission to give your clients my book, my recipe guide, and my protocols. We will be announcing after our attorney goes through it a way that you can do that by getting into our, It's a licensing program where we will allow people to license the program and then you can use those resources. So stay tuned. You've got a food allergy module that we have on our Vibrant Living members site, and that teaches you the provocation and the elimination and provocation process, and I have forms and checklists and stuff. You have the digestion and assessment scorecards, PDF and doc formats. Those we do have on the Done For You page. So as long as you either keep my copyright at the bottom or say that, you know, or if you edit it and make it your own, that this was, modified with permission, and we give you the exact languaging that you need to use to be able to use my stuff and give it away. Okay. We do not want you to take my stuff and then just put your own copyright on it and pretend that it's your own. You just want to have that derivation. So I'm giving you that. I give you digestion protocols. I think there's 10 or 12 of them. I give them to you in PDF format. So you want to just hand them out to your clients. You're just getting started and you're just saying, hey, I got this great format from my mentor, this great PDF doc. Here's some things. You're welcome to do that. But those are not actually meant to be given away that way. Those are meant to be able to have you be able to use them as a framework to create a custom protocol. So if you have somebody with low stomach acid, you're not going to tell them to do everything on my protocol sheet. You're going to customize it. What you may want to do is put little check boxes next to things and use the full page and then customize it by doing a checkbox and dates on the things you want them to do. Hang on one second. All right. And then I mentioned the licensing and use of the GRND. That's after certification, and I'll tell you more about certification later on. So who's ready for cases? So before we go into cases, I'd like to know if there's any questions. So I'm going to check the chat, and then I want you to post if you're ready for certifications. Okay, and thanks for some of you who for saying the sizing of the slides. Okay, let me see. All right, so let's go back to the chat. The column charts, do I have them in Excel? They were not built in Excel. They were built in Word, but you're welcome to, and you have access to the Word docs, I believe. I'll check that out, but if you want to figure out how to do that, you can do that. I'm not sure how to do what you're explaining, but yeah. I like the chart. Thank you, Paula says it's a very valuable chart. And yes, it is. It was, you know, I've been doing this for decades, right? So over time, you get frustrated with the tools you have and you create new tools, and that's what I basically did. Fantastic. Maria, to everybody, I'd love to start using your recipes. Yeah, and, you know, somebody had recommended a while back that we create a licensing thing where we just make a collection of all my recipe books, put them into one place and say, okay, you know, you pay a certain fee and you're licensed to use them, and then you can pick and choose and create your own recipe books from them. So we're looking into all that. I've got my attorney busy trying to figure out, you know, the legalities of it, because I don't want to have a weird, I haven't done the Word to Excel merge in a long time. I'll see if I can do that. Okay, great. Thanks, Jan. Okay, so we're going to move on to cases. And two people submitted cases today. One was Claudia and one was Karen. And they were good cases. And what I did was I took all the pieces of the cases, including their labs, and we created slides so we can easily go through, and we didn't have to go back and do the screen share of the one place and then the other and sizing, and it just gets to be a pain. So it was a time-consuming process for me, but it helped me to really get to know the cases and think through them a lot. So we're going to go to the cases. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the recording, start the recording again so we get individual recordings for each of the sections, so it makes it easier for you to go back and watch, listen to whatever piece you want. So let me do that. It's not what I wanted to do. It's very touchy, the screen, and it keeps pulling up my video thing. It's not what I want. Let me see if I can get my mouse to work again. More. Stop recording is all I want to do. Recording. I'm still having a difficult time. I'm on my laptop. I'm not used to having a smaller screen. And there we go. Okay, so